not lie with swine.
Strasser kept the pasted-on smile. He reached out and poked a heavy finger in the center of Doc's scrawny chest, catching him right at the top of the breastbone with each painful jab.
You'll do whatever the hell I tell you to do, and come back asking for more, you crazy old loon. Take pride in your new position, and thank me for not chilling you right now.
Frankly, sir, I would rather be dead.
That can be arranged. Bring him.
Too exhausted to really care anymore, Doc offered little resistance as he was taken through the halls of Baron Teague's manse and out a back door to a waiting wag. The ride to the compound where the pigs were kept was short, and soon Doc found himself standing in front of a wide wooden gate, looking at the dozens of muddy sows within.
Toss him into the pit. I'll be standing on the observation platform above. And he stays until he's shown his love and affection to the pig of his choice.
Soon Doc found himself standing among the terrible smelling pigs. Strasser yelled down from above, much to the amusement of his lackeys.
And Doc, don't take too long, or I might see if you prefer porking piggies of the same sex. Being a pig fucker is bad enough, but a homo pig fucker is even worse.
The long hours spent in the pen seemed like the most painful nightmare Doc had been forced to endure since being taken away from his wife and children. And as it was, only by focusing on their faces and voices and memories was he able to detach himself from the current situation he was being forced to participate in and do the requested deed. Never in his life had he felt so degraded and alone. In Puerto Rico, within the confines of a modified MAT-TRANS gateway, designed not only for simultaneous matter transfer, but also for quantum leaps into the past or future, the gaunt figure known to friends and family as Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner ceased to exist. The man, Doc Tanner, wasn't. Yet he was. And there he stood, his knees unbowed, in the center of a MAT-TRANS chamber.
Most curious. I usually return to these unearthly carols horizontal and sick of mind and body, not erect and invigorated.
Other than the queer sensation of tingling flesh, as if he were covered in a layer of squirming insects, Doc felt wide-eyed and alert. His eyes searched the colors of the tinted armor-glass walls and saw they were an unfamiliar brown. No sign of blue was to be seen anywhere around him. He touched a wall and received a slight electric shock. Looking at his hand and arm, Doc noted a faint halo of light that seemed to dance around his entire body, like a glistening silver cloak of silk.
I wonder where this might be.
He debated whether to cross the small room and open the waiting door, or remain standing until he had more opportunity to assess his situation. He regretted the absence of his trusty Lama now more than ever, and cursed himself for a fool for having left it behind in Puerto Rico. He could stand there as long as he liked, but eventually would need to cross the threshold and see what waited outside. If events held to the norm, outside would be an anteroom leading to the control center for the MAT-TRANS gateway he now resided in. Some blinking lights, a few soft noises of comps talking to themselves in binary clicks, and Doc would be all alone, he hoped. Squatters in redoubts were rarely the friendly sort. All of this was true, if events held to the norm. Pausing cost Doc any element of surprise. While he stood wool-gathering, the heavy armor-glass chamber door swung open.
He who hesitates is lost.
If Ryan were here, he'd undoubtedly remark that such an expression sounded like something the traitor would say. Doc had met the traitor and spent many a day traveling in his company. Despite the origins of the phrase, the traitor would have agreed with the words, or at the very least, the sentiment. Doc held his ebony sword stick in both of his elegant hands, long fingers wrapped around his lone possession, in a manner indicating there would be no taking of the cane unless he were unconscious or dead, the latter being most likely. One of his age-spotted hands was at the base of the silver lion's head atop the stick, and the other was lower, ready to unsheathe the hidden blade within, readying himself for what he did not know, but he wanted to be as prepared as a man facing the unknown could be. He peered out through the open door and into the anteroom and spotted three figures, all dressed identically in form-fitting white bodysuits. The suits were the only thing the trio shared in common. The man standing slightly in the lead was Caucasian, with a high forehead and thin lips. A pair of steely blue-gray eyes were sunk above high, almost regal cheekbones. It was a cruel face, Doc decided. Next to him was an older man with dark brown coloring similar to Mildred's, although Mildred had never sported shoulders as wide as the ones atop this man's torso. He had a long, heavy-jawed face adorned with a thick black mustache and a frowning, suspicious expression. The third member of the White Bodysuit Club was one of the most striking examples of feminine beauty Doc could remember ever seeing, rivaling Christie for pulchritude. Her red hair was a tousled mane of wavy thickness atop the most delicate of features, and like Christie, she had eyes of deepest emerald. A graceful, swan-like neck led to a slender body of curves, accented even more by the hug of the white clothing she wore. None of them appeared to be armed with the usual plethora of weapons he was used to seeing on denizens of the Deathlands, a fact that allowed Doc to release the deep gulp of air he'd taken by reflex when the door to the chamber had opened. As Doc exhaled, he noted they didn't seem to be intent on inflicting or creating any immediate harm. For now, they merely gawked. Doc could handle gawkers. He decided to turn on the charm and allowed himself to grin nervously, revealing his perfect white teeth.
By the three Kennedys! Something tells me I'm not in Omaha.
Hearing Doc's voice echoing from within the chamber, a fourth man joined the others, also dressed in the tight-fitting white bodysuit, which Doc couldn't help but note was nowhere near as flattering as it looked on the other three. The new arrival was in a wheelchair and didn't appear at all happy to be so confined, the arm movements he used to wheel himself over impatient and quick. The man in the wheelchair was much older than the other three, with decades on Doc's own elderly appearance. A pair of thick-lensed glasses were perched on his long nose, and a small mechanical hearing aid was attached to the right earpiece. The man's appearance and manner vividly reminded Doc of a perpetually annoyed old chemistry professor he'd been forced to suffer under during a long fall semester of his stay at Harvard. Armed with blasters or not, Doc realized he was rapidly becoming outnumbered. He took a cautious half-step back, quickly turning the lion's head on the sword stick with a twist of a wrist, rewarded by the appearance of a half-foot of glittering, razored steel from the stick's sheath. At the same instant, the halo of light scurrying around his lean body exuded curling, crackling strings of pure energy, and the skin-crawling sensation was replaced with a much more uncomfortable jabbing feeling, as if 10,000 tiny needles were all being shoved at once into the upper epidermis of his skin.
It's cycling again. We've got to seal the chamber. We don't know the wavelengths of that radiation. It could be fatal, or could contaminate the redoubt if it's not contained.
By this time, Doc had no idea who was speaking, since his vision was starting to break down into streaks of multicolored light, followed by a sodden darkness all too familiar to anyone who'd previously traveled on the Matrans Express. Silver Armaglass. Silver, the color of betrayal. He knew this Matran's chamber from a previous visit, and now, here he was again. A woman's voice was asking him a question, mere moments before the event that he knew was soon to occur.
What's that panel of numbers and letters by the side of the door?
Doc heard himself reply.
Control codes. Sadly, at the time of what is called Skydark, all of the relevant documentation and comp disks have been wiped clean, or destroyed, or have quite simply vanished. So we have no way at all of understanding what any combination might do.
Makes me nervous, Doc. Going into this strange-looking room and closing the door to wake up somewhere else makes me claustrophobic.
Doc watched himself give the woman his most reassuring smile.
Nonsense, my dear. As long as I am at your side, no harm shall come to you.
He had turned to look down at the attractive woman standing outside of the Matran's chamber next to him, one of her hands curled tightly in his own. She was around average height, 5'6" or so, with the lean build of a woman used to moving. Her golden shoulder-length hair was streaked with the first tints of the eventual waterfall of gray to come. Against the blonde hair, Her deeply tanned face and neck looked even darker than they truly were. But the sun had been kind, and her face remained relatively wrinkle-free, despite her age of 43 and continual exposure to the elements. Another blonde,